From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. The best museums present history in context, but sometimes less flattering aspects of the past are glossed over or ignored. Tomorrow, curators at Telfair Museum's Owens Thomas House in Savannah unveil an unvarnished relic of history, refurbished slave quarters at the Regency-era mansion. And we're going to take a virtual tour with GPB's Cindy Hill in just a moment. But first, Shannon Browning Mullis is curator of history and decorative arts for Telfair Museums, and she's joining us from Savannah. Hello, Shannon.
Good morning.
How did renovations and happenstance lead to what became a multi-decade project unveiling tomorrow?
You know, it's been a long process. The slave quarters and carriage house at the Owens Thomas House had been turned into apartments by the last owner of the house in the early 20th century. So it wasn't until 1990, when the last tenants moved out, that the museum went in to renovate, and I think they really thought they'd get new offices or storage space. But what they found when they pulled down drop plaster ceilings and walls was that the original features were still there. So they had fireplaces, they had original ceilings with haint blue paint, and they realized early on that they needed to restore this space and fully tell the story of all the people, free and enslaved, who lived on the site. And it's been quite a process to do the research to put these exhibits in and be able to tell this story.
Well, you said that Savannah has not always been quick to highlight stories of slavery at the time. Why was that?
Well, I don't think it's an unusual situation in Savannah. I think for many years, people glossed over the story of slavery in America generally. More recently, we've certainly seen some museums and some cities start to embrace a full history. So you've seen moves at places like Monticello to start and Montpelier to start telling those stories. And we think it's important that to have a full, authentic history, every historic site in every city has to acknowledge their full past, the good parts and the less attractive parts.
But that's now, and there are loads of other museums, the Memorial for Peace and Justice, for example, in Montgomery, telling full pictures. But this was in the 1990s when you discovered this. So if that was the thinking, why did Telfair decide to invest so much time and money, really, in bringing the slave quarters to public view?
You know, I have to say that it was before my time there, but I very much respect the decisions of the board and the staff that was there at the time in recognizing that this is, you know, a part of the story, whether we like it or not, and that this is, as far as we know, the only intact urban slave quarters open to the public in the city of Savannah. So you may have other slave quarters that are today townhomes or apartments or shops, but they're not open so that the public can see them as they were. So it's a real responsibility and an honor for us to be able to tell that history.
Well, the exhibit highlights stories of three enslaved people in the Owens House. Who are they? What do we know about them?
Well, first I'll say that, you know, we do know that between 8 and 14 enslaved people lived and worked on the property at any given time from 1819 until the Civil War. So we do touch on all that history, but there are three people who we have a little bit more information about than anybody else. So Peter was the enslaved butler for the Owens family who lived in the house for many, many years. Diane was the enslaved cook for the family. And Emma, who is probably the most intriguing figure in our history, was the enslaved nursemaid who raised their children.
Why so intriguing? What do we know about Emma?
You know, I think because of her position and because of her interaction with the family, they wrote more about her in their correspondence than they did about anybody else, or at least any other enslaved person. Which means that as we piece together this history using census records, tax records, wills, but especially that correspondence, that we can just learn a little bit more about her and her life. So we know, for example, that she was with the family at this property for decades. We know that George Owens took her to Philadelphia for medical treatment at one point, which is quite unusual. But we also know that the family put her in the Savannah jail for safekeeping overnight at one point. So a complex story about people who lived in very close circumstances and had to have a very complicated relationship.
I think so often when we walk into these museum or preserved homes and we think, oh, it's beautiful and full of antiques, and your imagination gets going. How has included including the stories of not just these three, Emma, Peter, and Diane, but all of the enslaved people, changed that museum experience.
You know, it's a different experience. I think, you know, historically, we had a lot of historic house museums focused on architecture and decorative arts. Mm-hmm. The large majority still are. But the reality is that while people may want to hear about the fancy dinners and the beautiful ball gowns, those things didn't exist without the people who were sewing those dresses, who were cooking that food, and who were serving those dinners. And in addition to that, the wealth that created that lifestyle didn't exist without plantation labor and the domestic slave trade and the other ways that wealth was made off of human beings. So we have to fully acknowledge that history, and it creates an extremely different experience for our visitors, which is one of the reasons that we decided it was such an important thing for us to change the name of the property from the Owens Thomas House to the Owens Thomas House and Slave Quarters, so that our visitors know up front that the story we're telling is about all the people who lived here and what their lives were like.
Shannon Browning Mullis is Curator of History and Decorative Arts for Telfair Museums. And tomorrow is the public unveiling of the historic slave quarters at Telfair's Owens Thomas House. We've got a little bit of an audio tour with GPB's Cindy Hill, who joined Shannon for an early look at the renovations.
The building that we're in right now on both sides, this is the original carriage house, so horses and carriages on first floor, hayloft up above, and then next door was the two-story slave quarters.
Come on through.
This house existed not on a plantation, but in a city, which is something people don't often understand. George Owens, who purchased this property in 1830, was an attorney. He was a politician, but most of his wealth came from the 8 plantations on which over 400 people were enslaved. So the important thing to understand here is we had between 8 and 14 enslaved people on the site, but the money that generated the ability to live in this way came from over 600 individuals' lives. And so the pieces of wood that you see behind you are representative of those people. When this is done, and it will cover the wall, and you'll see over 300 names that we have, but you also see blank tiles for the people who we know existed on these plantations, but whose names we were not able to recover yet. So we are in the slave quarters. Both levels of this building did serve as slave quarters before the Civil War. The ceiling that you see here, fireplace that you see here, even that center strip of floor there are original to the building, which is pretty exceptional. This is the only intact urban slave quarters that's open to the public in the city of Savannah. The paint that you see there is really important to us. It is haint blue paint, so made and applied by the enslaved people who lived here as part of their own spiritual practice. Let's walk upstairs and take a look. This space is the second floor of the slave quarters, and what we are doing here, of course, we don't know what furnishings these people had. You know, we have inventories of the main house and the expensive furnishings that were there. We don't have that for this building, but we do have WPA narratives that talk about things people had in different places when they were enslaved. And so what we're doing here is interpreting 3 different vignettes of the ways people might have lived and furnished their spaces. So we have one that is a rope bed, which you see here, and the story would be that this is a hand-me-down from the house, something that would have been used until it was worn, and then they passed it on to the slave quarters. We'll also have a bed that would have been constructed by enslaved people from materials they were able to acquire themselves. And then we have a pallet on the floor for people who would not have had beds, because we know there were many people who were enslaved that did not have actual beds. Do you want to have a look at the basement and see the rest of the new exhibits? So we're still wrapping this room up, but this door will be open so that you can see the tools they would have used on a daily basis. This is the cellar. I've never been to another site where you could go into the cellar, so I'm very excited about it. It's where everything would have been stored at the time. And then the cabinet that's behind you here, when it's complete, will be interactive so people can open the doors and learn about power and access. So what did Diane, the enslaved cook, have access to on a daily basis? And then what things did Sarah Owens come down and unlock when it was needed? Formal dinners absolutely happened here. Beautiful dresses absolutely happened here. But those things didn't exist without somebody in the basement washing those dresses and cooking that food.
GPB Cindy Hill brought us that audio postcard of a visit to the Owens Thomas House and Slave Quarters, opening up tomorrow, actually, in Savannah. And want to make a note here, GPB Education is creating a virtual field trip to the Owens Thomas House and Slave Quarters. It's going to launch next fall. But this is one of the things that we do here at GPB Education, a free classroom resource aligned to standards, and you get to explore the revitalized house, 360-degree video, interactive elements, primary source documents, and also a virtual reality component. Now, this is just a fascinating find and a fascinating opening in Georgia history. I'm wondering for you, Shannon, you said these blank tiles, names we're not able to get records of yet. So this project is continuing.
Sure. Historical research is never complete. There's always one more document out there, one more story that's been told and recorded somewhere. So we won't stop trying to uncover all the details of these people's lives that we can. We know that Richard Richardson, who originally commissioned the house, was a trader in the domestic slave trade, and we've recovered shipping manifests that name 200 people he shipped out of the port of Savannah to be sold in New Orleans. But we know we don't have all those manifests and we don't have all those names, and so we're not telling the full, complete story. So, you know, stay tuned. We're opening a lot of fantastic, exciting new exhibits tomorrow, but there'll always be more information to come.
We know that when the National Museum of African American History and Culture opened in D.C., also the National Memorial of Peace for Injustice in Montgomery, the new Civil Rights Museum in Jackson, sometimes the response from the public is, well, you know, why bring this up again? Why again talking about this negative side of history? What's your response to that?
Well, I have two responses to that. One would be the more philosophical response, I guess, that is, why wouldn't we? If our job is to tell history, to tell the story, and half the people who lived on this property were enslaved, then at a very base level, we're just not doing our job unless we're telling their story as well. We're presenting a fairy tale, not an actual history. But on another level, I think we can all look around and honestly say that everyone in our country is not experiencing equal opportunities or equal lives at this moment. And I think unless we go back and really examine the root of where that inequality started, we will have a lot harder time getting to solutions today and in the future.
Yeah, sometimes people find it hard to look at the historical mistreatment of blacks in the U.S., but this is about, in some ways, the future. Can we make that argument?
I can certainly make that argument personally. We will have to have our visitors decide if they can make that argument themselves. But I think it's so important.
Shannon Browning Mullis, congratulations on finally bringing this to the public, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Shannon Browning Mullis is Curator of History and Decorative Arts for Telfair Museum. Tomorrow is the public unveiling of the museum's Owens Thomas House and Slave Quarters. And we're going to keep you posted on that 360-degree video that's being put together by GPB Education, and it's going to be on the free GPB Education app. There is loads coming up. We're going to mark Transgender Awareness Week with a transgender bodybuilding competition. Get a visit from Football Friday's host, John Nelson, and music recommendations from Paste's Josh Jackson. Stay with us for more. It's all coming up on Second Thought.